let's jump back to a notification. You know, you have 100 names on your list. The next thing you know, three or four people are going out of their way to say, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? Or I know somebody, or give me a little bit more information. What's the best, most effective way? I know there's a lot of ways, but what's the most effective way to get information about your business so that the brand new person can do it?
Well, that's, I believe that's another step from going to thinking like a distributor to thinking like a leader. And let's take an example of, you know, notification. Now, I mentioned one way of notification, and that's sending out a postcard, an email, or a letter. Now, here's another form of notification. And then we'll go through an example of how you create a lead through this particular form and how do you approach them, how do you tell them about the business or the products. But one great way to do notification is what I call creating prospects by not answering the phone. And it's just basically a form of notification. And if you were to call me, 10 years ago while I was at the University of Virginia, and you'd probably hear my phone ring. It goes ring, ring, ring. My voicemail would pick up because maybe I was, still sleeping. And in voicemail, I say, hey, this is Art. I'm not home right now. Leave your name and number, and I'll call you back. Beep. And that didn't do anything for my business. Nobody ever asked me about the business or about the products. And then we learned to change the voicemail to say something like, ring, ring, ring. Hey, this is Art. I'm not home right now. Leave your name and number, and I'll call you back. And by the way, if you're calling about the book, How to Get Rich Without Winning the Lottery, be sure to ask me, and I'll give you a copy. And see, here's what happened is all of a sudden, I get calls from people that wouldn't ask me about the book. And that's okay. And every once in a while, I might get somebody that says, hey, we're getting together at St. Martin's, like we normally do at 6 o'clock on Friday, but instead of 6 o'clock, we're getting together there about 5:45. And by the way, can you bring a copy of that book? And all of a sudden, you see, I'm notifying my warm market. Now, this is a voicemail that you would change at your house, not the one that you've set up for lead generation and so forth. This is the one where your friends call you at, your neighbors. If your neighbor's friends are calling looking for their kids that might be at your house, or the telemarketer might call while you're depositing your bonus check and you're not home, that's the voicemail I'm talking about. So you can change your voicemail so you can have an offer on there. Make a notification. You can change your voicemail to say something like, hey, ring, ring, ring. This is, Keith, I'm not home right now. Leave your name and number, and I'll call you back. And by the way, if you'd like to earn, a fourth check or, an extra paycheck every single week, visit my website, www.whatever your website address is. It tells them about the opportunity. And if you point them to a website, here's what's neat, is your friends might say, they won't tell you, hey, I'm Keith, for the last 10 years, everything that I've done has been wrong because I'm still, not anywhere better off than I was before. They might not admit that they're not doing well financially, but if you tell them about a website on your voicemail, they're probably going to go check it out. A curiosity alone. And if they like what they see, then the next time they see you, they're probably going to say, hey, Keith, I went to your site. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you have there? And that's if they're interested. Now, remember, it all goes back down to the timing issue. If somebody that lived in my neighborhood that worked for Enron and everything was going well, they probably would never ask for the free report or the free CD or go visit my website or whatever they heard on my voicemail. But after Enron, most of them would ask because the timing was right for them. So if you change your voicemail slightly, you're going to start to have maybe one person a week ask you about a free report about your products, or maybe you say, ring, 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 hey, this is, Ann, I'm not home right now. Leave your name and number, and I'll call you back. And by the way, if you're calling about our exceptional weight loss product, I can give you a free sample, ask me, and I'll bring, ask me for it. You can change it for however you want it. But if you have one person a week ask you for information, that's one person in your warm market that's pre-qualified. They're asking you, they're approaching you, it's rejection-free. And that'd be about 52 people a year asking you about your business. If you had 10 distributors on your team, that's 520 pre-qualified warm market, prospects approaching people on your team every year for the cost of $0. And ask yourself, when's the last time that happened to you? And imagine if you had 100 people on your team and they all changed their voicemail. It's an activity that only has to be done one time. So take the time to maybe sit down with your distributor and have them change their voicemail. Because once they've changed it, they don't need to change their voicemail again for the next 2 years. But it just might create some prospects for them. So that's a way of creating notification by changing your voicemail. A lot of neat ways to do it. So the question becomes this. What do you do once you create somebody that says, I'm interested in an extra paycheck? Well, here's a couple of things that you might want to become aware of. First of all, you know, when I first joined network marketing, I was in school to become an electrical engineer. And the company that I joined happened to also have a nutritional line. And overnight, I kept telling all my friends, you know, one day I was an electrical engineering student, the next day I was a nutritional expert. Well, you know how much credibility I had with them? Absolutely none. I mean, it was, I thought for sure there was something wrong with me because nobody wanted to even try the products. And so, you know, here's a couple of ways to think about it, again, from distributor thinking to leadership thinking. And the first thing you can think about is think about back when you were a kid and your mom or your dad were putting you to bed. Did they tell you bedtime stories or did they tell you bedtime facts?
Hopefully they told you bedtime stories.
Yeah, it's the stories. And if they told you facts, do you remember any of them? And the answer is absolutely not. But you probably remember some of the really neat stories that they told you. You might remember some of the, you know, stories out of a book that they read to you, and you probably specifically remember the stories that they told you about their childhood, because kids love that kind of stuff. So when somebody says, hey, you know, I got your postcard, tell me about your business, or I heard your voicemail, tell me about your business, or maybe you've created at this point a lot of ways to create prospects that are coming to you, what do you tell them? Well, my recommendation to you is this. Number one, find a few stories that you can tell them. So if you use a product or service and you've had results with it, then tell them that story. Tell them, you know what, I used this service and the first time I needed it, I called this 800 number and it worked great. Or I use this product, I work in a cubicle, I work there, you know, 45 hours a week and I've been gaining some weight. Now I've been taking this product and I sit in that cubicle and I lose weight. It's pretty cool. Or any, you know, or tell them a story about, you know, you joined the business and now all of a sudden you receive a check once a month. You know, how that works for you. But it's a story that's going to interest them because people like hearing stories because they like to hear how the story ends. So the first thing you might want to do is you might want to make a list of a few stories that you can share with people that come to you. I would have a few stories about your product or service and have a few stories about the money part. Now, if you don't have any stories of your own, borrow some stories from somebody else. And that's a good reason to get on the different conference calls that your upline and your company might have, because I guarantee you're going to hear some stories there. When you hear them, write them down. Because all you need to tell your distributor, or I mean your prospect, is, hey, let me tell you about my friend Keith. Let me tell you about my friend Joe. Let me tell you about my friend Amy. You know, here's what happened to her. That story is just as good. If you get a company newsletter for the internet by email, or maybe they mail it to you, I bet you in each one of them there's a story. I mean, companies in network marketing know what they're doing. The reason their testimonials are in there are because they want you to learn them. So pick a few that you can really get down and learn them. Once you have your stories down, here's what you do. You find somebody, say, for example, that I'm talking to Keith, and I ask Keith, I say, Keith, you know, about 4 weeks ago, you were telling me that you're sick and tired of having three jobs. You've got your full-time job and these two part-time jobs. And you were telling me that you wish there was a way to get rid of the other two part-time jobs. Well, were you serious about that?
Yeah.
He's going to say, yeah. Because if he says, I wasn't serious about that, you know, what the heck was he telling me for in the first place? Is he just joking around? No. So there's a neat prospecting technique. Were you serious about that? And they're going to have to say yes. And here's what I recommend that you do. If they're interested, instead of trying to tell them what an expert you are in your company and what an expert you are in your compensation plan, simply tell them a story and then point them to a third-party tool. Now, what is a third-party tool? Well, a third-party tool is anything that you're not. You point them to a third-party tool when it involves fact-telling. So if you're going to be telling them about the facts about the compensation plan or the ingredients of a product or exactly how they can earn an extra paycheck or what the four steps are to earning an extra $500 a week, any of those particular steps that might take a little bit longer to explain that's not in a story, what I recommend is that you point them to somewhere where they can get that information. So what are some places you could point them to? Well, you can point them to your company website. And if the company website is designed pretty well, there's probably at least some kind of a presentation there that they can learn. You can point them to maybe a website that your organization has created. You know, a lot of organizations in network marketing have a really nice website where you can send people to get the facts. You might send them to an audio recording on the internet. Maybe you invite them to a conference call that your upline does where they explain the information. Maybe you send them to a recorded message. Maybe you have an audio or a CD that you can just hand to them. or maybe have a videotape that you can sit down and watch with them, or a DVD these days. There's a lot of places, you know, ways that you could point them to. And how do you, you know, hand off the tool? Well, if I had a CD that maybe how to get an extra paycheck, I'd say, Keith, I have the CD. I don't know if it's for you or not. It may or may not be. But what's on the CD could change your life, you know, financially. I'm not sure. It's going to take you about 30 minutes to listen to it. If I give it to you, will you listen to it?
Sure.
Now, you know, that's pretty straightforward, really simple. Now, let me tell you a couple of reasons we do this. Number one is this. If I were, you know, a female in my 30s and I was in real estate and I was involved in your network marketing program and I came up to Keith and Keith was, say, in his 60s and he's been, you know, working as a retail store owner for the last 35 years. Well, you know what? There's a relatability issue that's inherent before I even open my mouth. There's the whole issue of our age difference. There's the whole issue of our difference in professions that we've chosen. And there's the whole issue of me being a female and Keith being a male. So Keith is probably going to judge every fact that I share with him that's coming out of my mouth based on these existing inherent issues that are already there. And that's going to work against you in most cases. Now, if Keith is a 60-year-old, you know, owner of a retail outlet for the last 30 years, and he goes and talks to an African-American female who's in her early, you know, 20s, she's still in college, and he tries to share with her the facts on the company or the compensation plan, you know what? Like it or not, there are going to be inherent issues already involved in that conversation. They're going to be, you know, underlying everything that Keith has to say. She's going to judge what he's saying based on those inherent issues. We're not going to be able to get around this. The same thing will hold true for her if she's going to go and talk to a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. He's probably not going to listen to her in the way that he should. So, number one, when you point people to a third-party tool, it's easy for me as a real estate agent, you know, female real estate agent, to look at Keith, who's a, you know, 60-year-old guy that's been owning a retail store, and say, hey, let me tell you a quick story about what happened to me. Oh, really? Yeah. And I'm going to point him to a video. I'm going to point him to a CD. I'm going to point him to a website where he can go and get that information without judging it. And I think that's often overlooked in our presentations, is that there is an underlying factor of, you know, all the issues that are already inherent from one person to another. Number two is that when you're presenting this business to somebody, one of the questions that they're asking themselves is this. I already have two kids. I have two jobs. I have relatives. I have the house is falling apart. I have to do dinner. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have no time. And if you're going to sit there for 40 minutes or an hour and a half explaining this business to them, they're going to sit there and they're going to go, you know what? I just can't spend an hour and a half with everybody that I need to go tell about this business to be successful. And they've mentally already checked out of the business in one way or another. The other part that'll happen if you give them an hour-long presentation is ask yourself this. When's the last time you had to learn a one-hour presentation? Well, it may be in college. Maybe the last time it was in high school. And how did you feel when the teacher said you have to learn this presentation, you have to give it in front of the class?
Not very good.
No, it was horrible. I don't care who you are. You didn't want to do it. So your prospect's sitting there going, wow, you know, Art's giving me a one-hour-long presentation, and in order for me to be successful, I'm going to have to learn what he knows. Now, first of all, I'm going to have to be willing to learn that, and number two, it's going to take me a year to learn it as well as he has. So even if you convince and you get that prospect to join the business, you've won the battle, but you've lost the war. Because now you're going to have another challenge to get that new distributor to go do what you just did. Now look at the other option. You sit down with the prospect. Somehow you've generated interest from them. Maybe it's notification. Maybe it's through the voicemail message. Maybe it's asking them, were you serious about that? A lot of different ways. You tell them a story, and you point them to a third-party tool. Now they spend the time listening to a conference call or the video or the audio or the conference, you know, or the website. That's on their time. That's 30 minutes that they can listen into. You're not giving a 30-minute presentation, so the whole process took you about 5 minutes versus 30 minutes or 60 minutes. And the prospect's sitting there going, wow, I can do this so far. I mean, I can point people to different, you know, places to hear this information. I can still do this. So they haven't checked out of the business yet. So here's kind of what happens. You've handed over the CD, for example. Now what do you do? Well, here's the tendency, is that we have a tendency to want to tell them more about what's on that CD. But let me promise you this, that CD will tell the story perfectly every time. You will not. Maybe some days you'll tell the story better than the CD, but there'll be a couple of days where you're going to tell it and it's not as good as the CD. The CD is consistent. So instead of trying to say anything else about the business, what I recommend is at that point, once you've handed the CD over and they've agreed to listen to it, focus on relationship building. Ask them about their family. Ask them about their friends. Ask them about the game that they saw. Set up something. Continue to build a relationship. Let the CD do the talking for you. So what do you do now? Well, say, for example, that you've mailed somebody a CD, or you've asked them to go to a website to listen to some information, or you've given it to your neighbor. Well, maybe a couple of days later, you might call them up and say, "Hey, Keith, you know, this is Art. I gave you that CD about how to earn an extra weekly paycheck. Remember that?" "Yeah, I remember that." "Well, did you listen to it?" "No." "Well, jeez, I'm looking at the news here, and you live over there in, you know, Dallas, and I don't see any hurricanes in Dallas, so what happened?" And you can make kind of a little bit of fun about it. And Keith's going to say, "No, I've been really busy. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on in my life." I'll say, "Hey, I understand. You know, life is just busy for all of us. But let me ask you this. You have a job, right?" "Yeah, I have a job." "Well, what do you do?" "Well, I work for the airlines." "Well, how long does it take you to drive from your house to the airport where you work in the morning?" "Well, it takes me about 45 minutes through traffic." "Well, Keith, you know what? Could you do me this favor? Tomorrow morning when you're driving to work, instead of listening to the radio and you know, stuff that they do and the talk shows on the radio, you think you could listen to that CD? Because by the time you get to work, you'll have heard the whole thing. And at least you'll know if this is something that you may or may not be interested in."
"That would work."
"That would work. Okay, great. Well, Keith, I appreciate that." Once that's done, you can either tell them a story, right, if you have more stories to share, because that's always good. It'll pique their interest. And then build a relationship or get off the phone. Now I'm going to call Keith back a week later or 4 days later. "Hey, Keith, did you listen to the CD?" "No." "What happened?" "My CD player broke." "Oh, okay. You might be telling the truth. I don't know." So I might tell Keith. I might say, "Keith, you know what? On track number 4, there's this part, and I might explain something on the CD or on the website. Pique interest for Keith so that his curiosity will drive him nuts to not go listen to what I just shared. Once I've piqued that interest, hey, share a story or two if you want. Build relationships or get off the phone.